sweep over my soul. My rest, oh my rest, is complete while I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
God bless you, my friend.
Once again,
oh, sweep over my soul, oh, sweep over my soul, yes, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, oh, my rest is complete, yes, while I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. May we please bow it for a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you very much tonight for this wonderful privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your grace that has been our help since the beginning of this day. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for encouraging our hearts to defy every tiredness, even to come into thy house tonight. We thank you for the songs of Zion that the believers have offered before the throne. We pray, Lord Jesus, that this will be accepted in your sight. May you bless our offering, O God. May you bless our worship. And Lord Jesus, we want you to come by here tonight, greater than other times, to visit each and every one. Move through the audience by way of your word, Lord. The Bible said the word was sent unto them, and it healed their diseases. May our sickness, may our situations, may our disease, may it be healed by the preaching of the word tonight. May you take us deeper in your love. May you take us higher in your joy. Yes. Let there be a surround of your spirit and of your presence that will do wonderful things for us. Grant it, Almighty Father. We pray for souls who might be coming on their way. The Lord, you will guide their path here safely. Those that are still in their houses, may you quicken them, Lord. If there be those who are hindered by one thing or the other, may you make a way for them. All the other places where believers are fellowshipping tonight, your presence, which we trust, is here among us. May it also be with them. At the end of the services tonight, both here and there, may we all have cause to give you glory. May we give you praises as we commit ourselves, thy word, and this moment into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, church. Well, just before you take your seats, I would suggest we read the Bible. Thereafter we'll get acquainted and then we'll go into the message. We welcome ourselves into the house of the Lord tonight, and just want you to know I'm happy to be here. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Psalms chapter 16. We'll read a verse from the book of Psalm. We'll read a verse from the book of Proverbs, Psalm 16, Proverbs 16. Then a few more verses from the book of Isaiah. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16 verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Finally, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, I'll read from the sixth verse. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. God bless you. You may be seated. I would like to thank the Lord very much tonight for making it possible for me to be in the midst of the believers in this part of the world at this time. I want to appreciate Pastor Gibbs in absentia I don't know if that's Sister Gibbs. Okay. All right. For the privilege he has given to me to come and be of service to God's people, believing God that it will be of a blessing somewhere down the line. And I must thank him for his confidence. I think it is the confidence he has in Pastor Simon Peter that is rubbing off on me. And I'm most grateful to that. So I appreciate Pastor Simon tonight for arranging the meeting and also bringing me to this place. His family is also here. May God bless them. And then may God bless every one of you. I'm so happy to see you all. I came here last 2010. Maybe some of you will not remember. But I can recognize that face very well. Yeah, I came here last 2010, and it's so nice to know that God is keeping his church, and God has kept me also. So I'm glad that we can come together and fellowship again. I bring greetings from home. The saints are doing very well, and they told me to give their greetings. Our pastor, the church, and my wife and children, everyone is very fine. And I'm sure they'll be glad to know that the believers are fine here. And my prayer is that the Lord will bless our fellowshipping together tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Permit me to please remove my jacket. It feels a bit warm. Let me just put it here. So tonight, if the Lord will be our help, which I trust he will, I want to speak on a little message which I called the path of life. Amen. The path of life. The scripture that we read in the book of Psalms says, thou wilt show me the path of life. And he began to talk of some blessings along that line. But I cannot talk about the path of life without drawing a comparison tonight. Because just as we have life, we have death. Just as we have light, we have darkness. And sometimes nature is arranged in such a way that it takes one to appreciate the other. And that is why we'll be looking at the two tonight. My subject along that line will be that God has a way of doing his own things. That's what I want you to keep your mind upon. He has a way of doing his own things. And when we can find his way of doing things, we are automatically in the path of life. But when we avoid or forsake or ignore his way of doing things, then we are automatically in the path of death. No matter how strong our opinion is, I want you to know that God has his opinion of every matter. He has an opinion of your own life. Amen. And he would have a right to have an opinion or the thinking or how he wants your life run, because he is the maker of that life. How many agree the Lord is their creator? Okay. If I bought an underpilot, I will not go to Mercedes to ask for the manual of operation. Is that right? Because Mercedes wasn't the producer and is not the manufacturer of that car. The right place for me to go is to Honda, because they made the car. So they have every right to give me the manual of its operation. And if I follow its manual, I'm bound to enjoy the car. That is the same way it is with our own very lives. Inasmuch as we are not the maker of our lives, if you want to enjoy that life, you must operate it correctly. And to operate it correctly, you must appeal to the manual of its operation. When you walk with the manual, you are in the path of life. When you ignore the manual, you are treading another path. God has a way of doing his own things. All right. The first way I would like to talk about is the one we read in Proverbs 16:25. The Bible talk of there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. By the language of the scripture, the way is not actually right, but it seems so right. Now, where you use the word seemingly or seems, you are suggesting a probability or a presumption. Why would we presume or make it probable? Because we don't know the end of that way from the beginning. We don't even know what to expect along that way. And that is why the scripture said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seems so right, but it's not certain that it is right. And let me tell you, friends, that is the way men always want to go. Because this part of Proverbs 16 is inherent in the natural birth nature of man. Are we following? It's inherent in our natural birth nature. You don't need anybody to show you. You don't need anybody to teach you. As you start growing up, that is the way you find. That is the way you go. It feels so easy for human beings naturally to adjust to that direction. Why? Because our conception was a product of death. As many as were conceived by the coming together of a man and a woman, the prophet of the Lord said, you were born defeated. Your birth was without a fighting chance. Because that birth wasn't a suggestion of God. I'm sorry if it sounds flat, but we've got to tell the truth. That birth was suggested by Satan in the beginning. And it was Satan's opportunity to inject his own nature into mankind. And that is why the Bible said, you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Came to the world speaking lies. You were never taught how to lie. It's inherent in the birth of that nature. It's inherent in the birth of the fallen nature. You don't need to be taught to do anything wrong. You find it easier to do wrong than to do right. It isn't your fault. But it becomes your fault when you hear the truth and you don't do anything about it. Because the prophet, in teaching the true justification, he said that life was imposed upon you. Amen. That wasn't God's own conception of you. And that is why the Bible said you were by nature a child of destruction, a child of wrath. God wouldn't conceive you for wrath. It wouldn't conceive you for destruction. But you are not a child of destruction. You are not a child of wrath. You look like death by a nature. And that nature came by natural birth. And that was why God rejected your natural birth from the beginning. He rejected it even in the end. When God came in flesh, he knew you were already born. But he made a demand, you must be born again. Amen. By that language, he acknowledged that you were already born. But he said you must be reborn. Meaning that God rejected your natural birth. Job said a man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. So God can never conceive you to be a temporary creature. Because his conception was way back in eternity. Amen? So God thinks eternal thought. And you are part of the thought he configured. Hallelujah. So that means that nature you carry, God is not responsible for it. But because you are a child of God, he also placed a seed of election there, waiting for its appointed time to come to manifestation. Until that does, you seek your own way. That's the way of Proverbs chapter 16. It seems so right. Now, what makes it seem so right? Why can't we be certain? Because the man who walks in that way cannot see the end from the beginning. You've got nice, beautiful, flat, wide roads in America. And so straight. That makes sister happy. Good. So straight and wonderful. But if you stand at the end of one of the roads and look towards the end, no matter how sharp your eyes are, not using glasses like mine, you can never see a 2 kilometer stretch and identify whoever you are looking at. You might be able to say this is a human being, but who that fellow is will be difficult to identify. So meaning that as human beings, we don't see the end from the beginning. So when you go into the journey of your own route, you are walking in presumptions. Because the Bible said, what must influence decision is a consideration for the end. It said, consider the end of the matter. Consider the end of the conversation. But you cannot tell the end of the matter. So you have no right to take a decision. If you decide on a decision, you are walking on presumptions. It's a gambling. But thanks be to God tonight. He doesn't leave us in darkness. He told us that when we walk in our own way, even though we are not seeing the hand, somebody can see the hand from the beginning. And you know what he said? He said it leads to death. I'm sure there's nobody here who wants to choose death, whether natural death or spiritual death. Amen. Some are dead while alive. So it's not a big deal. Death is being separated from life. When you are cut away from God, even while alive, you are dead. When you choose to live in the pleasure of the world and ignore the instruction of God, you are dead. So don't take death as just falling down and collapsing here. It begins while people are alive. There are a lot of moving corpses in America. They move around, but they are corpses. Not only in America, everywhere. I'm saying America because I'm here tonight. Hallelujah. So he told us when we walk in our way, the certain end of that direction is death. So even though we have two ways presented before us tonight, you will agree with me that one of them is not an option. Meaning we actually have one way to go. Amen. Now, this other way, Isaiah puts these things beautifully. He said, there are two ways, and I've read the two ways for you. The way of Psalm 16 and the way of Proverbs 16. Amen? Now, Isaiah make it a bit more definitive for us. He said, one is God's way, one is your own way. A man gets onto his own way when he's not ready to go God's way. He might even be in the church. When you pray over matters and God reveals his direction and you feel that's not pleasant for you, you want to go your own direction, you have chosen your way. But be careful here. The prophet of the Lord said, if you don't want God's way, there's a permissive way to go. That permissive way is your own way. It's permissive because it is not God's way, but that's what you want, so you are allowed. That's the meaning of permissive. Amen. But you see, you don't find God in permissive route. And what a believer, as against an outsider, must understand that is that even if you choose to walk in your own way, God will still achieve his own purpose. But you will get wounded. Take note very well. This is why the prophet said, it pays to accept God's way for anything. God doesn't establish his kingdom on permissive will. It starts with your life as an individual. I'm narrowing it down to us. Our natural birth was a permissive will. Whether it's in the Royal Hospital or it was done in the White House, wherever you were born, permissive. It's not God's perfect will. That was why God rejected it flatly when he came and demanded that you are born again. You know why? He cannot establish his kingdom on permissive will. A man who lives by permissive will is still yet carnal in his thinking. He can't understand the things of God. He can't know it. He can't obey it. He will want his desires above the will of God. And this man who wanted his desire above the will of God does not know the end of his desire. But God is gracious tonight. He said, when we go our way, it is death. So don't always find a way around it. When you know God's way, accept God's way. It pays to accept God's way. Don't find a way around it. If you find a way around it, you will find one. But God is not there. The prophet took it a bit further. He said you could even find God blessing you in your permissive will. That is the trick in here. Because some of us will take that as a vindication. It doesn't vindicate the believer. If you take that as a vindication, the women preachers are vindicated. They pray for the sick and they get healed. And those things are not counterfeit. If you understand the truth about anointed ones at the end time. Some folks came to Christ and said, in your name we cast out demons. Did Jesus argue with them? They did it. And God knew it. They did it. In your names we heal the sick, we raise the dead. But they still told them, depart from me. Despite those credentials, ye workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? They knew the right thing to have done, but they chose their own way. Are you seeing it? So having gone their own way, even though they find blessing in it, yet at the end, they were rejected. There was a time Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they chose to go against the word for that hour. God used Moses to bring the message of their day. When you talk about the message of the day or the hour, it is not a new concept. It's a old Bible concept. When it came to the days of the apostles, they call it the present truth. Amen. Always. The present truth. Amen. This Bible is so great a book. But in every age, God will declare his will out of this Bible. The Bible remains the word of God. But you need the prophet of God to declare the will of God out of the word of God. Because there are times the word of God may not be the will of God. Okay, you want me to clear that? I can see that. Okay, let's just give a simple example. In the days when Noah was here, you remember Noah? God told him to build an ark for the salvation of the people. Is that right? Now, in the days of Noah, that was the word of God. And that ark was the will of God. If you don't enter in there, you perish. Is that right? But now today, it remains the word of God. And it is still good to talk about it. We can still preach about it. But to build a physical ark today is no longer the will of God. Praise the Lord. So God must send a messenger to us to declare his will out of his word. And that becomes the present truth. That becomes God's own provided way. That becomes the path of life. Because God has a way of doing his own things. Don't forget that. Now, so much for this way. Let's come here. Isaiah made it clear to us. He said these two ways are very wide apart. He calls one his own. He calls the other yours. He said, but as the heaven is high above the earth, so are these two ways apart. And from the scripture we read here, the ways will never at any time match. So there's no point wasting time. What Isaiah told you to do is to be willing to forsake one so you can walk in the other. Amen. Amen. It said, let the wicked. As long as we choose our own way, the Bible described us as what? Wicked. It said, let the wicked does what? Forsake his own way and come this way. For my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. There's actually no blessing, if you look at it very well, in going in your own way. I was trying to talk about Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. They tried it. It failed. God used Moses to set the church in order. And that becomes the way and the will of God for that hour. But Dathan, Korah, and Abiram being politically minded, or do I say being carnally minded, couldn't come to terms with the fact that God can choose Moses as a prophet messenger and choose his own brother as the high priest and the children of his own brother as priests in succession. You know, that looks more like nepotism, isn't it? It's like they will say today, you have everything just by yourself. But that wasn't Moses' idea. As hot as it looked, that was God's wish. That was God's desire. That was God's working. That was God's way. But Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, they were also Levites, but they were not priests. Their job as a Levite is to carry the holy book and read and preach to the people. But when it comes to intercession and prayers for the people, the priests handle that, and the offering of sacrifice and so forth. Now, they felt that that aspect is more juicy, is juicier, a function than this aspect. And they began to pull trouble. Now, when they started their trouble, they thought they were fighting Moses, but it was actually fighting the wish of God, the way of God. So Moses said, suit yourself. These brethren went to carry incense and do things that were only meant for the priest to do. Now, when they were doing it, watch the God we serve. This is why it's nice to know its way and walk in it. Now, when these brethren started waving the incense, you can read this in Numbers 16. The smoke of their offering was going up to heaven, and the angels were not pushing it back. And said, no, you are not accepted. It was going up. It was going up. So that will give them an assurance that they were in the will of God because of the vindication. But the moment they finished that revival that shook the church so much, that man who knew where he was standing with the word of God asked a question, who is on the Lord's side? Now you could say, with all these demonstrations and manifestations, you are still asking who is on the Lord's side. The Lord has shown the side he is. But Moses knew what he was talking. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come this way. And you know what happened? Moses told the people, he said, the offering of these people against their own soul. And he began to give prescription on how he wants them destroyed. And it happened exactly like that. Now watch something here. After these men were wiped out, Moses told the brethren, take all those censers with which they offered the incense and take them to the house of the Lord for vessels. Because their offering, they offered it to the Lord. So meaning what they offered was accepted, but the people who offered were rejected. This is why the prophet said, you might even find yourself, you might be going in your permissive will and find God blessing you in it. Don't rely on that. Your reliance should be that I have found his way. And there is where I'm standing. Amen. Are you following? The scriptures are there for every truth that we want. They consecrated those censers and made them vessels in the house of the Lord. But friends, where were those who offered the incense? They were all perished. It pays to go God's way. So this other way, in Psalms chapter 16, watch carefully. It's not the way you naturally discover. You must be shown. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. No man look for it. No man discover it of himself. You've got to be shown. Amen. Now, let's go a bit back into the first Exodus to show this. The Lord promised Father Abraham that your children is going to sojourn in a land that is not theirs for 400 years. And I, the Lord, will bring them out with a mighty hand. Is that what the Bible says? Heaven and earth will pass away. God's word must come to pass. Whatever he says does not expire. It's only waiting for its appointed time. God doesn't fret about his statements. Because the prophet said, anytime God speaks, he allocates a power behind it. And he goes to rest. When the hour of the fulfillment is ready, that power will wake up the word and back up the word. God's word still does not fail. He will not fail you in his promises. And he will not fail the world in its judgments. You love him tonight. All right. So he told them, I will bring you out with a mighty hand. So when the appointed time came, God was ready to bring them out. As they were ready to go, watch this, church. In Exodus chapter 23, God said, behold, I send my messenger, my angel, to go before you, to lead you in the way. Think about that a minute. Why was God interested? Because whatever path he leads is what will produce life. The reason we are saying this is because, church, you must know that God can only be obligated to you when you walk in his own way. If you can take care of yourself, you can go your way. But if you want God to be responsible for your life, for your provisions, to fight your battles, to meet your needs, to guarantee your security, to protect you, to do all, then you must be ready to go his provided way. You must be ready to see things as he sees it. You love him tonight. He said, behold, he want them to look very carefully. I send my angel to do what? To go before you and lead you. He said, beware of him. In other words, be careful with him. Don't argue with him. Don't question him. Don't disturb him. Just follow, meaning that you just have to follow him. When God is on the lead, when God is in charge, he does not entertain second opinion. Listen to me, church. We are in a kingdom. We are not in a democratic republic.
Amen.
That would be difficult for an American who is not converted. You know why? You love democracy. Everybody has got to have a say. That's very good. Democracy is good when men is ruling men. Because we need to leverage on the wisdom of each other. But in this case, we are in a kingdom. We are not in a democracy. You talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Do you understand the kingdom? In the kingdom, only one man has the say-so and the final say. Because only one man rules, the rest are subjects. That's right, sir. Great. Only one man. And the ruler is King Jesus, King God himself. That is why he said, let every man's word be a lie. He said it with all boldness. And let man only be the truth. In other words, it is only my opinion that counts. It's only my words that stays. However strongly you feel, they say, how strongly opinionated you are, you've got to bury it. It's not needed in this case. How many will enjoy the kingdom? Say, but this is how I feel. This is what I think. That looks like democracy. We're in the kingdom here. In the kingdom, when all of us are making noise, once the king gets up and say, this is what will happen. The rest say, your lordship. The way we see our lordship today is, amen.
Amen.
So be it. Long live the king.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You love him?
Yes.
So this was why he told them, beware of him. Don't query him. Don't challenge him. Don't question him. Whatever he says, it's good enough. Now, when this angel started leading, I want the church to know, for you to appreciate why this instruction was important to these Exodus people. There are many ways that led out of Egypt towards Canaan. Read your Bible. It's there. The Bible talks of the path of the Philistines. Moses had gone out of Egypt before. He didn't pass through the Red Sea. And he got to where he was going. But you see, in this life, in this journey, that song, only believe all things are possible. We have it? Can you please put the third one on the screen for me if it's possible? Only believe. The last verse, if it's possible. Sorry. I want you to see it, because we sing it, we must relate with it very closely. Are you able to get it? All right. Oh, it's still booting. It's coming up. Good. All right. Is that the last one? The last verse, your shepherd selected. That means the second verse then. Okay, let's look at it. It says, fear not, little flock. Is that right? He goeth ahead. Your shepherd does what? Selecteth the path that you must tread. The sheep doesn't query the shepherd, does he? They don't even know where the shepherd is leading. It's not their business. Their business is just to see the shepherd in front and they just keep following. The waters of Marah will sweeten for thee. Why did he put this there? If you look, the angel led them towards the bitter waters. And you will wonder, why, what kind of a leadership is that? No matter how hard, no matter how unpleasant, let your guarantee be that I'm following God's path of life. Because God can and will only be obligated to you when you follow his way. So, because there are other routes out that led out to Canaan, this was the reason God affirmatively instructed the church, beware of this angel. Okay. When this angel started leading, look at the language of the Bible. The Bible said, and he led them by the way of the Red Sea. You are English people here. When he said led by the way of the Red Sea, it shows that there are other ways. That's the meaning of that statement. But this is the path, this is the way he chose. Now, that way that he was leading them through is the path of life. No matter how hard, no matter how contrary it sounds, that was the path he led. And if you care for God to be obligated to you, to take care of you, you've got to follow that direction. Now, friends, this way of the Red Sea is actually a no road. There's actually no way there. Because it is a way of dead end. Because when they eat the Red Sea, what else? But that was the path God led. Until tonight, he's still leading. He still does such things. Amen. Now, picture yourself, if you were there on that day, whatever you are doing today, your complaints, your actions and reactions shows the side you will be if you were there that day. Because the Red Sea leads to nowhere. Now, we can read in retrospect and say, yeah, it was because he wanted to make a way. But if you were there that day, what would be your thinking? It's a road to nowhere. But that was what God chose. And that will be the test of followership. Can you follow God notwithstanding? And these folks started following. I would like to make a remark about one man amongst them. They called him Moses. Now, this angel of the Lord, it is not everybody that sees him. Because it was the pillar of fire. The logos that came out of God. Everybody don't see him. But one man always sees him. When he's on the approach, one man can sense his presence around. And that was who Moses was. Are you following? Now, Moses was the one who was to, you know, the pillar of fire that is not seen. Moses was the one who was to humanize his leadership to the people. So Moses follow him, then the people follow Moses. Are we together? Now, this Moses, who had been out before, if he hasn't met God, he would have the tendency to challenge that leadership. Because he knows that this is a road to nowhere. Are you getting the picture? Excuse me, pillar of fire. I've been out of this way before. The direction you are taking leads to nowhere. How can you call yourself divine and be leading so poorly? That is what you will have said. Perhaps that is what I would have said. That is what you would have said. But why didn't Moses say so? Because Moses had an experience. The old Moses would have tried to do something about it if you look at his background. What took Moses out of Egypt before? His attempt to take the matter upon himself. He felt either that God wasn't fast enough or God wasn't sensitive enough to the yearning and the feeling of the people. And you see, it was this burden of the people unusually that eventually became a snare to Moses. Let me say tonight, you can never help anybody better than his God can help him. When Moses looked out and saw the people suffering and saw the tax masters of Egypt beating them, God was also looking out at his window and seeing the same thing. How many agree that God was seeing the same thing? Oh, yes. He saw it all the time. But everything of God must work according to his way. That is what I'm trying to pass across to the church tonight. Look, our emotions are good, but if it's not governed by the word, it will work for the devil instead of God in our attempt to do the right things. Moses couldn't stand it watching those people being beaten. What David saw was what God also saw. I cannot be living in a nice home and the ark of God will stay under curtain and tents. We've got to bring it home to the right place. Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? The prophet said what David wanted to do was to bring a mighty revival to Israel. Perfect. But the question is, how would God want it done? It is not enough to serve God. We must know how to serve God. God will never give us merit on good intentions. Good intentions with a poor discernment will never achieve anything for the kingdom. Everything of God and everything of your own life has a way God wants it done. If you're a wife, God has a way, wants you to live as a wife. He has his own definition. You can't do it like the Americans do. You will fail as a Christian. If you are a husband, the same thing. You want to get married, young people, God has a way, wants you to do it. Don't tell me we have our style. Bring your style back to the word. If it's contrary to the word, throw that style into the garbage can. Except you are planning to fail. You want to have a service for the Lord, God has a way, wanted it done. There's no aspect of our life that he has not declared his will for us. He's a gracious God. The prophet said he will not be just to call us to judgment if he hasn't shown us the right thing to do. You love him tonight. So what Moses saw was what God saw. But after a while, Moses, feeling that God was wasting time, he decided to take the matter upon himself. Oh, yes. And he succeeded in killing one Egyptian. What do you think about that achievement? All the struggle, all the troubles, all the effort, one Egyptian. When you take the matter upon yourself, your achievement will be one Egyptian. And guess what? You will get that one Egyptian, you will not be able to wait to defend your victory, your achievement. You will run away. Now, when Moses ran away for 40 years, brethren, who was taking care of the people he wanted to fight for? Because he seemed to have forgotten about their suffering, settled down to family raising and to developing his career. But all the while for those 40 years, God was using that to take self out of him. Amen. Not the way you want it, but my own way. Amen. And he will still do it to any one of us. After 40 years, Moses had become sober and humble. The prophet said 5 minutes before the burning bush, rewrote everything for him. Because it brought a conversion like no other. He took self away. He killed self. He killed that natural nature. Hallelujah. Amen. And quickened the real seed of God in him. From that moment, I want God's way to be my way as I travel down the road. So when God told him, I'm not going to use your military sense to deliver those people. I just need you to be an humble shepherd with your little rod to go to that place and take over. It was easy for Moses to accept. You will imagine you saw a man on the way with a donkey, with a wife and baby, and with a rod. And say, where are you going? Say, I'm going to America. I'm going to Washington. To do what? To take over from President Trump. You're already laughing. You see what I mean? It sounds ridiculous, isn't it? But that was what happened. Egypt was world superpower. It was the soccer of the world at that time. The best economy. by the providence of Joseph, where every nation resorted to. Is that right? Now, one man just with a rod was going there. Why? Because he accepted God's provided way. It looks so hard. It looks so unreasonable. Amen. It looks like somebody was out of his mind. And really, you've got to be out of your mind if you want to follow God's way. That's why he said, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus do what? Be in you. I hope I'm making it simple enough. You love him tonight. So Moses, having had that experience, there was nothing in him again to challenge that leadership. He kept following because the shepherd must select the path that you must tread. And as they kept following, they got actually to the dead end and there seemed to be nowhere to go. Then while they were thinking on that, all of a sudden, some dust started gathering. By the time the dust settled, it was the Egyptian army coming. So the Red Sea was in their front. The Egypt army was at their back. On either side, right or left, you could find hills, mountains, valleys, and so forth. So none of this four sides is an option. Meaning God's believing children who follow this provided way, we are in a close-up. So does God's path lead to that? Yes. Can you agree with me on that? It still does tonight. You might be feeling suffocated by experiences of life. You look here, it's like a dead end. Look here, it's close up. Look here, it's close up. Look here, it's... You are in the midst of nowhere, suffocating by the pressures of life. You don't worry about those things. Don't worry about the Red Sea. Don't worry about the Egyptian army. Don't worry about the mountains. Don't worry about the valleys. Just be careful for one thing, to be sure you are in God's path. As long as you have that assurance, he is still the same God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. If he made a way for the first Exodus people, he will make a way for these last Exodus people. He will never abandon you. Individual, family, church. I'm saying God's path led to a dead end. Not just a dead end, a suffocating environment. Because they've got nowhere to turn. No escape. No leeway. They go back, Pharaoh killed them. They go forward, they are drawn. They go to the right or left, they fall into the ditches and cracked on the hills. So what are they going to do? And yet people could say, but Lord, we have followed you. Why would you bring us here? God never does anything without a purpose. The prophet said, if you can understand the thinking of God, you will understand many things. God has never had any new thoughts about anything. All your life, from the day you were born till now, it's an unfolding of God's thought. Amen. You are discovering that day by day, but he thought about it all in eternity already. So each day reveals a mind of God concerning you. So if it's a close-up you are in tonight, it's part of God's thinking. It doesn't mean you are not in the will of the Lord. It doesn't mean you are not doing the right thing. These Exodus people were so innocent. They were just following. They were not even complaining or challenging. They were not rebellious till they got to that spot. And yet they came to a dead end. If you are going through such an experience tonight, you have cases you can relate to. And you can use them as a test case before the Lord. If you deliver these people, you will deliver me. It's a principle of the word because the prophet said, if you met somebody upon a basis, if you come on that same basis, he's obligated. So there seems to be nowhere to turn. Amen. And you can tell that could perplex the people. That could make the people get anxious. It's not unnatural. They will get anxious. Some will be frightened. But God must keep somebody there. we will become the stabilizing force of the entire congregation. When Goliath became the suffocation for the church of God, God raised David, who became the encouragement of the church of the living God. Many a time, the people God raised for such purposes have gone through some experience. So, the experiences of your life on an individual basis, they are preparing you for greater things. Sometimes God allows you to go through things, not for yourself. But the church will come to a point, the family will come to a point one day that they need somebody to say, I know. I've been through that. And that same God. Because that was what happened with David. Nobody could face Goliath. But here comes a man who knew it. While I was taking care of my father's sheep, the lion came. He went. The bear came. We took care of him. He knew something. And he said, this other guy, hallelujah, for my third victory celebration, will be as one of them. Sometimes the church needs somebody like that. Who knows? God doesn't allow anything in our life without a purpose. There was a sister who got an attack of cancer while the prophet was there, and she got healed of it. She was playing piano for a service one day. She was at the keyboard. Another sister who had cancer was coming to the prayer line. As she came to the prophet, Brother Bram said, you don't need my hand. Go to that sister there. She went through the same thing and she had victory. It is her hand you need. Let her lay hands on you, then I will pray. Brother Bram never laid hand on that sister. The sister left the prayer line, went to the sister by the piano. She laid hand upon her and the prophet said a word and the cancer disappeared. Because somebody knew. She could connect with that. Her faith could rise up to the level. He said, this son shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall what? Recover. It was easy for her to do because she knew. So sometimes God allows you to go through things. Because somewhere down the line, the church, some brother, some sister, a family, we need somebody who knows. So the challenges of life are not designed to consume us. They are designed to prepare us. They are designed to equip us. Let me tell the church tonight, no matter how much the activity of the devil is, it can never be sufficient to send you to hell. It's not possible. That wasn't his design. But God designed that he make contributions to our life in order to bring us to masterpiece. The thought I have towards you are the thoughts of good and not of evil. To bring you what? To an expected end. So whatever you are going through, tell it to the devil, I've got an expected end. Tell it to the devil, you are just being used. You will soon be dumped like a trash. Oh, yes, sir. I believe that 100%. What can he do to send me to hell? There's nothing he can do. So whatever he brings my way is to prepare me. You see, the prophet said, when God wants to take you higher, it's got to work on your character. There are times that things that build character will come negative. God doesn't handle that by himself. But he puts bits on the mat of the devil and allow him to go to work. Knowing that he cannot do much more than or be allowed to do more than what God permits him. At the end of the day, Satan is not in the picture. He's just a tool. Don't give him the credential he doesn't have. So when he came charging like a true Pharaoh to attack the church of the living God, isn't God seeing it? But it took somebody who knew to yield himself to an inspiration to connect for God to speak through his vessel. And God spoke through Moses and said, don't fret, church. This Egyptian you have seen today, from this day you see them no more. Amen. That wasn't Moses speaking. That was what Moses yielded himself to at that moment. Because when the real Moses came back to himself, the Bible said he was crying. Then God reminded him, something came out of your mouth a while ago. Don't you believe it also? Tell the people to march forward. Now, because this church, let's draw it to a close. Because this church had followed God's path, God took over their security and their protection. If anybody dies or is wasted in that attack, God will be held responsible. Hey, we serve the God who said, not one brittle of your hair, a strand of your hair can fall down without him knowing it. Those are not just casual statements. They are true. You can't count the strands you have in your hair, my sister, can you? But the one who made you can tell you the number tonight. And he said, if one ever falls down, I know about it. You've brushed that hair today, you don't know how many strands have gone. Call Jesus, he will tell you the number. Oh yes, that is how careful, that is how much caring he is to us. Look, let me tell you, if you can rise up to a level of relationship with God, he wants to relate with you like father to son or father to daughter. I find that times I want to go out of the house, and sometimes because of traffic and so forth, I drive to the junction of my street. I don't know which road to take. And I say, Lord Jesus, just give me a direction now. I'm before the pulpit, and the Lord will tell me, go through this way. And by the time I hear from the other way that I feel should be okay, if I'd gone there, I would have been stuck for hours. That is how close. It's not something I'm saying happened once, one off. It's my regular life driving out. I remember the time I was going to another state that I needed to drive about 2.5 hours. Then, because of a matter that came up, I wanted to go and help some brethren on an issue. And I was wondering how to go. Now, we have this highway that runs about 10, 12 lanes, I guess. And you can travel on here, and it's a bridge that stretches several kilometers over the waters, and you continue from there. And I felt that for this journey, that might do me, we call it freeway, you call it freeway here, that might do me a lot faster. Then something said, don't go that route. Don't go through this other back end. I will enjoy a little freeway on the back end, then move to a narrow road, you know, snake route. He said, go through that. He didn't give me a reason. I said, okay, I've learned to trust your direction. So I went towards that. And I got to the place less than even the time I calculated. Now, by the time I got to the place, a sister called me. Pastor, where are you? I said, I mentioned the place. I said, oh, when did you leave home? I told her. I said, why are you asking, ma? He said, I overheard you'll be traveling to that place. And I was wondering where you are now. I said, I'm right in the place. Where did you take again? I told her, I said, why did you take such a direction? Because it is off completely. I said, that was where the Lord suggested to me to take this morning. Then the sister said, that was indeed God. He said, right now, we've been here since 9. This is 2 p.m. We are still on that road. So the time it took me to sit down with the brethren, sort out their issues, start getting ready to travel back home, they were still on there. So if I had gone towards that direction, that is where I would have gotten stuck. What am I trying to show? God wants to be that intimate with you. So low, so close, that you can ask or discuss anything with him. So instead of complaints, instead of quarrels, instead of bitterness, why don't you spend more time on your knees? And you get more directions. You love him tonight. So while this was going on, God, who must be obligated to the people who had faithfully followed, removed himself. The angel left the front and he came in between. He stood between them and the evading army. He's still your go-between tonight. The prophet of the Lord said, what the Egyptians, what the devil was trying to do with the army of Pharaoh is to destroy the life of Exodus redemption children prematurely. But no true seed of God can die prematurely. No, sir. Now, why did God lead them towards that direction? It's an opportunity to enjoy blessing. You know why? Redemption blessing is in twofold. Redemption by blood, redemption by power. The prophet said, if he can save your soul, he can heal your body. They have enjoyed redemption by blood, which is salvation, by the Passover lamb. God wanted to give them an opportunity of healing and deliverance, which is also part of redemption, so that their testimony will be full. That is the only reason he has led them towards that direction. God is too smart. Trust his knowledge. Trust his senses. Amen. So he stood between them, and it was darkness to the Egyptians. It was light to his people. And he told Moses, tell them to go forward. Then God began to do some calculations. I need people who are good in physics here tonight. If you are good in physics, raise up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Physics. You are not good in physics. Who is good in physics? We don't have physicists here. Okay. I would have wanted you to help me with the calculation. Yeah, because 2 million people are going to pass through the Red Sea on dry land. But we want a calculation such that by the time the last man is leaving the waters, the entire host of Egypt will be put into the water. So we need some calculation of some distance, speed, time, velocity, and all those things, and all the densities. And if you take on this challenge, let me quickly tell you that you are going to be calculating the distance and speed for 2 million irregular pacing children, people. Because some are weak, some are strong, some we have to drag them. You know, if the pacing frequency is constant, it's easy. But in this case, some are like this, some are like this, and you've got to factor all of them for 2 million people to take them through that water stretch. By the time the last of them is coming out, we will have put Egypt, not starting, they would have gotten to the middle of the sea ready for their baptism. You can say that God is a great physicist. He has to do that calculation. And when he finished the calculation, he told Moses, tell the people to go forward. And at some point, he asked the Egyptians, come right into the water. So Pharaoh must have been excited that we will catch up with them. And sometimes the devil will want to frustrate God's calculation. You know what he did? He told Pharaoh to increase his speed beyond the calculation. And God said, no, you cannot go ahead of what I calculated for you. I am your boundary, I am your limit, I am your regulator. It is however fast I tell you to run, you will run. It is however slow I want you to be, you will be. So take no thought for anything, because God is in charge of all these things. And when the Pharaohs were trying to run faster than the calculation, the Bible said, God troubled the wheels. Slow down. And he made it such a way that by the time the last man was coming out of the water, the entire host of the enemy was in the middle of the water. Why was God taking time to do all these things? Because those people followed his provided way of doing things. So they must get into life. When they got over, they started getting excited and happy. God called Moses, excuse me, you open the water, close it back. And Moses had to tell the people, see, I told you, this Egyptian you saw today, you won't see them no more. By the time he waved the rod back, the water submerged all the people and they perished. Why did God do that? Because they accepted God's way of doing things and it led them to life. That is the challenge the church faces tonight. Many a times we know what to do. It is always not what. It is how to do what should be done. And God watches over that carefully to judge our actions and to judge our reactions. May God be our help. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But somebody, a star, must show you that way. When this Christ, who is the way, the truth and the life, was born, it took a star to show the magi's, the astrologers. And because they recognized the star and followed his leadership, they became wise men. Prophet Moses in Deuteronomy 4 today said, to be wise, you've got to follow the word for your day. This is why God sent us a star in these last days also. Amen. In every church age, a star did shine to help God's people the truth to find. In this last church age, a star shines bright. Amen. 7 stars in the hands of the Almighty God. And he gave us the last one. When we follow that star, we will come to that way, the truth and the life. Showing that the message that was given us is the path to life. Let's walk in it and abide in its instructions, and we shall make it. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. May we please bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, Lord, just such an encouraging word tonight, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, for meeting us here in this place, Lord. Lord, you're ever so faithful, Lord. We just love you so much, Lord. Lord, we just want to take a few more moments here, Lord, just to praise and worship you, Lord. Just thank you for being here, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I will praise the Lord.
Oh, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will praise the Lord.
Once again, let's stand on our feet tonight.
And I will praise the Lord
with all of our hearts tonight.
I will praise my Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord.
One more time.
Singing, I will praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I know I will praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Oh, I can't repay, but from my heart I would like to say that I thank you.
Sing it again with all your heart.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say that I When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Oh, when the storms of life are raging, stand by me.